Ahoy, seafood sleuths and ocean explorers. Welcome to the good ship, Decoding Seafood by Mo'oi. I'm your captain of culinary curiosity, George Duran, and today we're plunging headfirst into the delightful depths of the oceanic wonderland known as kelp. Strap on your snorkels, folks, because we're about to unravel the mysteries of the slimy yet sensational sea veggie. So let's welcome our guests, our very esteemed guests, Pat Schnettler from 12 Tides. They're the makers of the delightfully delicious kelp snack. Pat's sea farming resume reads like an ultimate oceanic adventure novel. He's navigated the waters of commercial fishing, conquered the realms of aquaculture, championed the cause of regenerative ocean farming, fought valiantly for marine conservation and restoration, and even taken on the Herculean task of oceanic decarbonization. With Pat at the helm, we're in for the tidal wave of knowledge and the insight into depths of our watery world. Pat, how are you? Thanks for being on.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, Pat, you know, when I say the word kelp, I can't imagine a lot of people are just rushing to listen to this podcast right away. I mean, you tell me kelp and I'm just like, meh. Can you first of all tell us what is kelp?
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting question because I feel like I could get pretty metaphorical about it on what kelp has sort of meant for me in my life and career journey and what it means for the ocean. But in the simplest terms, kelp is a brown macroalgae that we have, you know, exists naturally around the U.S. and North America for obviously centuries, but, you know, just, you know, much more recently have started to cultivate in a regenerative way.
So are there different kinds of kelp?
There are dozens, if not hundreds of different types of kelp. We really only farm about three or four, maybe commercially in the United States. But there are quite a few out there.
Would you say that all kelp is edible?
No. No, especially not in a pleasant way. I think if you look at some of the larger species of kelp, which is the predominant species in a lot of the restoration projects that we participate in, like the bull kelps and like the giant kelps, those ones are a little less pleasant to eat. But we do, you know, most of the farming work is done around skinny kelp and ribbon kelp and sugar kelp, and those are, you know, what we use in our food products and are a little bit more palatable.
All right, so what would be like a nutritional benefit of kelp?
Yeah, it's super nutrient dense. I mean, you could think of kelp as like absorbing all of the nutritional benefit of the ocean and really concentrating that into itself. Of a couple of examples, pound for pound, kelp has, you know, more iron than steak, more calcium than milk, as much vitamin K as spinach. And you know, one serving of our bag of chips is more than a full day's worth of iodine as well. So you get a lot of those micronutritional benefits in, you know, I think a pretty small amount of seaweed.
So why are we consuming this now? Why didn't we do this 100 years ago when we knew it was so nutrient dense?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, ocean farming is still pretty new in the U.S. I think a lot of that is for regulatory reasons. You know, nobody owns the ocean. And so, however, with terrestrial farms, you know, people own that land and you have the right to farm that land. And so that, I think, introduces some complexities into ocean farming that don't exist in other parts of agriculture. It's hard and it's complex. Anything that you're doing working in the ocean is, you know, always 10 times harder, 10 times more expensive than doing the same thing on land. But, you know, if you do look at other parts of the world, it's obviously been done for much longer. And they have much more advanced, you know, technologies over in places like Asia. And so I do think, you know, North America, we're maybe a little late to the game, but, you know, there's tremendous potential to grow the industry very quickly.
So I presume this is the reason why we see more kelp inside Asian menus, for example. It's been there for a longer time, right?
It's been there for a longer time. It's been cultivated there for a longer time. They have, very efficient cultivation methodologies, which, ultimately gets the product market at a more affordable price point. They have all the processing sort of infrastructure built out that can get that product from, from the ocean to a stabilized format and then to the ultimate end customer. All of that stuff we only have in the U.S. to sort of at a beginning level right now.
And this is very different than seaweed, right? We're talking about a whole different grass, I guess.
Yeah. It is, comparing to Asia as well, that is one of the differences. It's just a different species. And so you can't take exactly what they're doing over there growing nori and translate that to, kelp farming in the United States, because there's a whole bunch of things that maybe we wouldn't want to do from an environmental standpoint, but also, that we can't do from maybe a regulatory standpoint around having, infrastructure in the water. Lastly, is that you only want to farm the types of seaweeds that exist in the ecosystem naturally, because obviously there's going to be some mixing there. And so, for our farmers, when they have to capture the spores for their farm, they have to do that within a 50-mile radius of the farm site.
So the farm sites are directly in the ocean then. So you're pretty much farming in the ocean. It's, I assume, in a controlled environment. And this is all salt water, of course. Are you doing this in a sustainable way, regenerative way?
Yep. Yeah. So what really drew me into kelp farming from other parts of seafood and aquaculture and fishing is the idea that farming kelp can really be a net positive for the surrounding marine ecosystems. And I looked at everything else in commercial fishing and aquaculture, the solutions that I could come up with there was, how do we do less bad? And kelp farming was one of the few things that I saw where we can really do an active good. And so that is what I wanted to be a part of growing. In short, kelp farms do a number of things for marine ecosystems. One, they absorb carbon at an incredible pace. That influx of carbon into the surface waters is what causes acidification. Secondly, it provides, habitat and cleaner waters for all sorts of marine life. So studies by the Nature Conservancy have actually shown like 30% increases in biodiversity and 40% increases in marine abundance. And then beyond that, they have all sorts of benefits to, things like shoreline protection, nitrogen fixation, and nutrient cycling, and things like that. So there's a wide range of benefits, and that's even before we get to sort of the social benefits to the coastal communities.
Not to mention, it could be profitable for a lot of companies, so that at least you have some sort of economic mechanism to push companies to start farming kelp, right?
Yeah. It's still the early days for the industry. That's part of what we're trying to do at 12 Tides is create the high value end markets for kelp that allows, us to pay the very best prices in the industry to the farmers and help the farmers be profitable. And, I think we can show that, this is, a great, economic opportunity, a lot more people will come into the industry and ultimately that's what we want.
Yeah. And if you guys haven't checked out, ever tasted 12 Tides, their chips and their snacks at 12tides.com, they're delicious. I buy mine from Whole Foods, and they're crispy, they're delicious. And honestly, if I didn't know they were kelp, I would just think they're wonderful potato chips, so to speak, and the scoopability, it's really good. It actually holds chips and salsa, dips and salsa really well. What does, if I pulled, some kelp from one of your farms, what would that taste like as is?
Yeah, that's gonna taste a little brinier,
Okay.
a little more ocean, sort of centric. But you know, we worked with a chef here, and we know that's not for everybody. And you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, we're, you know, people like the idea of eating kelp and eating this sort of nature positive food and supporting regenerative ocean farming. But you know, eating kelp right out of the ocean is gonna be a little extreme for most folks. And so, you know, we worked with an amazing chef here in San Francisco to sort of weave that flavor into a number of other flavors that we have in our chips, and you know, really make it a good chip in its own right, not just good for a kelp chip.
So, instead of a chip, did you think of doing something else? Why a chip? Like, why not kelp pasta or, I don't know, kelp cheese? I don't know. What else? Well,
Yeah.
kelp pickles. I've seen some kelp pickles in the past too.
Yep. Yeah. So we, you know, I could talk about kelp pickles sort of specifically, but in general, we wanted to make a snack because number one, for most people trying our product, it is their first time ever eating kelp. And so we wanted to make something that they can eat right out of the bag and it tastes good and they have a good first experience eating kelp. Because if you have to trust them to sort of cook it, or pair it with something else, and you know something doesn't go right, and they have a bad first experience eating kelp, then kelp is dead to them forever.
That's very
And
true for a
so,
lot of things, yeah.
yeah, so we wanted that good first experience, and then secondly, having a snack product like ours really promotes trial because it's low risk. You don't have to dedicate several meals to it, and it's a low price point. You can try it for $5, or in a lot of cases less than that, you know, via some of our promotions. And so I think that gets kelp into as many hands as possible.
So, how do you market this? Besides it being, I guess, some organic and, I guess, good for you, better for you. How else do you market this so that people say, "Oh, I need, you know, I love chips. Instead of eating just a regular fried potato chip, let me dig into this kelp chip." How else would you market this?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly right. And that's the core value prop for a lot of our consumers, is that they look at everything else in the snack aisle and it's made out of corn, wheat, rice, and potato. And people are looking for, you know, those are mass-produced agricultural commodities that in most cases are sort of nutritionally empty at this point. And most people are looking for better for you, you know, more nutritious and more sustainable alternatives to those ingredients. And to pick up one of our bags and see, you know, ocean farmed kelp as the number one ingredient, that's something that they want to try. And then, you know, once they try it, the only thing that matters is taste. And so if they believe in that first thing and then they try it and it tastes good, then, you know, bang, we've got them as a customer.
Fantastic. Tell us more about your packaging and all these other sustainable methods that you use to distribute and make the kelp itself, the kelp chip.
Yeah. So we packaging was a challenge for us from the early days. Obviously, as an ocean positive brand, the idea of having single use petroleum based plastic did not sit very well with us. And I've seen in other parts of seafood how, you know, despite all of the sustainability initiatives of a lot of these seafood companies, an enormous amount of, whether it's discarded fishing gear or ghost nets or just other plastic waste is sort of used in that ecosystem is sort of frightening. And so we wanted to do whatever we can to, you know, try something else because we know what doesn't work for the ocean, that's single-use petroleum-based plastic. And so we invented our own laminate that it serves as the pouch for our bags. It's made out of wood pulp based biofilm, and we have plant-based inks on that. The whole construction of the bag is industrially compostable, which we recognize most people don't have access to that in the United States. So we're working on a home compostable version as well.
It's amazing. I mean, if you look at the big giants out there, companies like Lay's, and what they're not doing to probably help the environment or at least the ocean, for example. I mean, how do you use this to inspire larger companies, larger corporations to do the right thing for our planet versus looking at the margins and the profits? Because at the end of the day, when the consumer goes to the supermarket, they're going to be looking at bags of cheap potato chips that are salty and fried and okay, make them feel good when they eat it. But they're not looking at the whole picture. At the end of the day, it's about the corporations, the companies, or the producers who should be doing the right thing before presenting it to the consumer at a certain price point.
And you're exactly right. Like, that is our mission with the packaging is not to fix that problem ourselves, because it doesn't matter how many bags of kelp chips we sell, it's never going to be sort of a meaningful, percentage of overall, plastic food waste. But we want to encourage people, there are better solutions out there, and I think that larger companies have, very readily sort of declined to investigate those solutions or implement those solutions. And we want consumers to be asking why. And we want retail buyers to be asking why. And I think the more we put out an alternative solution out there, I think people do start to ask those questions.
I hope that really is the case. It's hard to imagine your average American consumer going in there and saying why or why not. It all boils down to the economy, to what's in their pockets and what makes them feel good at that moment. But you guys are certainly going above and beyond to prove them wrong that it can be done both ways. It still can be delicious, nutritious, and good for the environment. I want to know a little bit more about what you feel the future of seafood sustainability will look like from your perspective, what you're seeing is happening today in the world.
Where I'd like to see things go is really this focus on net positive production methods, or getting as close to net positive as humanly possible. And I think that is a little bit of a shift in the production species toward more shellfish, more kelp, but also a shift in sort of the mentality for maybe the more traditional industries, like fin fish aquaculture and fishing. And my sort of dream scenario for the future is would be a seafood industry that has a net positive impact on, marine ecosystems, and maybe that's, almost too wild to sort of believe, but I think it's at least possible at maybe a more, micro or local level, and then hopefully it extends from there.
Yeah, hopefully small steps with everything, especially with that. So when someone purchases 12 Tides chips, and I know you have different flavors, there is no seafoody flavor to this. I mean, I tasted it. There was no kelp or seaweed or anything oceany. I mean, it tasted like a true chip. But you still get that nutritional benefit, right?
And we make everything ourselves. We manufacture ourselves, and so you get that really unique crisp and texture because of our sort of unique formula with the kelp, but also the fact that we make it ourselves in a really unique way. It doesn't undergo high pressure or high heat extrusion like most snacks, and so that high pressure, high heat extrusion will destroy any nutritional benefit that could possibly exist in other salty snacks, but we maintain a lot of that.
Yeah, chili pepper, truffles, vegan cheddar, sea salt, everything bagel seasoning. What is your favorite flavor?
We do, yeah. The newer flavor of vegan cheddar is pretty awesome. I also love everything. If you like everything bagels, that one's a pretty solid one. But the traditional sea salt is always the best seller.
The winner. All right, I got to try the truffle. I'll get my hands on the truffle because I don't see it in my local Whole Foods, but hopefully we can get some tasting very soon. And is there anything coming up in the line for either new flavors, new shapes, new something using kelp that you guys are working on?
Yeah, we have thought about new shapes. You know, I think that's sort of a fun idea to put them into some motion-y shapes. But we've got enough going on as it is. So I think you know, the shapes are is a little bit of a side project or distraction. You know, we're really focused right now on moving toward nationwide distribution. We did launch nationwide with Whole Foods, which was really exciting, and you know, now you can find our chips in over 2,500 retailers around the U.S. After that, we are going to launch different pack sizes, so like a single serve pack size, as well as a more club or family sized pack size.
Fantastic. Sounds exciting, and we really appreciate what you're doing, not just for our bellies, the American diet, but also the environment as well itself. I know it's a delicate balance to do that and find some sort of profitability at the end of the day. But hopefully, a lot of these larger corporations will look at you and what you've accomplished and follow suit on that. Again, we really appreciate you being on this podcast. And if you want to know more about 12 Tides, you can go to 12tides.com, take a look at all their flavors. Obviously, go to Whole Foods and anywhere else they can look for 12 Tides chips.
Yeah, you know, if you don't live close to a Whole Foods, Thrive Market is an easy way to get the products nationwide or on our own website as well.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Pat, for being on Decoding Seafood, and best of luck. Hopefully we'll meet in person.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we hope you enjoyed diving deep into the world of kelp today. Big thanks to Pat Schnettler from 12 Tides. Before we sail off into the sunset, don't forget to anchor yourself to future episodes of Decoding Seafood Podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you cast your net for captivating content. I'm your host, George Duran. Until next time, bon appetit and happy seafood exploring.